Thank you. receive our Sunday morning offering. Now, what the pastor said he wants to do this morning, that we need to pick up for the folks in Western North Carolina. So I said, well, what he wants to do this morning? Well, I'm going to take up one offering. It's going to be that. So just, you know, if you've got your, like, your regular tithes, this is not the regular tithes and free will offering. This is just, you know, for Western North Carolina. So keep that in mind for everybody to stand. We'll take up our offering this morning. We'll get page 374. 374 at the top there. We'll do the first and the last verse. 374. So, and those, you know, don't take the silver plate. We won't use that. So, just one more time. This is not regular offering. This is for the folks over in Western North Carolina. Brother Jesse, would you pray over the offering for us?
Well, we do this on that. When you help, we'll pray this money. To help victims of storm, Lord, that be a blessing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So none in the newsletter, so I guess if you're keeping concealed, then you will get back or not. But I hope everybody had a good time at the Corum Days last night. You know, my family said that they did. You know, I said the housekeeping jubilee. But, you know, and honestly, finishing up some more too. But so I kind of get it. But I heard that it was a very good time. And I always appreciate the opportunity for God's people to get together. Now, the Senior Saints dinner is the 19th. Is that right?
Yes.
19th. So that's this coming Saturday. Okay, so do remember that. Also, we have our fall festival. Twenty-six. Okay. So remember that. And it's kind of, it's like, pardon me, hesitates to mention it, but you know, it's also Pastor's Appreciation. I just remember Preacher Stoney again talking about how, you know, didn't really necessarily like to be the center of attention. It kind of stresses him out. But like, the thing of it is, you know, really, we shouldn't be waiting for just one day out of the year to talk Pastor to appreciate it anyway. Right? I mean, if he preaches a message on Sunday morning and you appreciate it, we best be telling you.
Amen.
If you don't appreciate it, well, get right with God and appreciate it. And I'm going to tell him, I mean, that's the way it is. You know, I can honestly say there are times that our pastor preaches something that is a personal challenge to me. I mean, it reveals something in my life that, man, I'm not where I'm supposed to be on this. And I know I'm not. Ain't no sense in me getting upset about it.
Yeah.
Like, it don't feel good. I can tell you. I'm not going to sit there and lie to you to say the whole time that he's preaching something that you know, I'm needing to improve on. I'm not sitting there smiling about it.
Yeah.
But I'm not mad at him because I know what the Word says.
Yeah.
He's not doing anything but preaching the Word that God has given him for the help of myself.
Yeah.
So really, you know, and I do like having special times for Pastor's Appreciation. I'm sorry, you know, I wish you'd know better. Like, I get it.
I enjoy it. But it's, I just, you know.
I know what you mean, like, not going to be the center of attention, because I kind of feel the same way. It's kind of, it makes you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so I get that. But you know, I just appreciate the Lord giving me a pastor that I appreciate.
Amen.
You know what I mean? I've known some people who have been in churches, and they don't really feel like God has given them liberty to go anywhere. But, you know, they're just not in a place where they feel like maybe the pastor is necessarily following the Lord exactly right. I don't know. There's a lot of different situations. That's a broad spectrum. That's a lot of different situations that can be. But I can honestly say that, you know, Shady Grove, I've never had that. Not even once. I mean, you know what I mean? I've had two good pastors here at Shady Grove. You can just give it to Miss Sherry. Just give it to her, yeah. But we've had, since I've been here, and I know the ones before, because I've heard the testimony about it, but since I've been here, we have had two wonderful pastors at Shady Grove. And I just appreciate God's blessing so much, because it's like Preacher said, I didn't like that over there. You know, the pulpit ain't always what God wants it to be, and the pews ain't always what God wants them to be.
Amen.
I can tell you the difference between preaching here and, you know, the places, you know, we know like Smart's Grove and all the great places like that. Not every place that you preach at is like that.
Yeah.
There's some places you get up and there's resistance from the minute you get behind the pulpit.
Yeah.
And they're not down there causing trouble. They're not jumping up and interrupting you during the service. I mean, some places they do, but thank the Lord, I have not experienced that. I'm not, you know, jealous of that experience at all. But you sense that resistance.
Yeah.
And God has given us just such a blessing here. It's good for us to take time to show our appreciation for that. That's what I'm saying. So just always encourage our pastor. I know he needs. I've never been a pastor. I've filled into some places, and even just that little bit has given me a taste of the continual burden that a pastor has. And you know, when you're filling in, you see an end of that burden. And I know our pastor desires to be our pastor, and he's not looking to get out of it, but at the same time, that's a burden that is continually present.
Yeah.
And he needs your encouragement. So, and his family too. You know, that is, you know, it's not just him, it's his family.
Amen.
So I do be much in prayer for him always and encourage him, and I appreciate it. Having him and his family here. Let's see. And now you're leaving Lord willing Thursday morning, right? To go take the stuff. So pray for them as they go up, and God will give them clear travels. And
we've got what's going to deal with. I mentioned that we needed, well, I might need some help. We've got several still meetings by the Lord to drive us.
Okay.
But I think right now we've got five.
Okay.
Already, we got a truck full. That's his. We got help. Just going to have to see. I know I'll be pulling the trailer. I'm either going to pull my little lawnmower trailer, or I might get even from just
Yeah, yeah, and the pastor's mentioned, if you've got stuff and you want to go ahead and drop it off, you can put it under the breezeway out here where it won't get rained on, and they can get that, you know, and bring it in. Just pray that God would use that stuff and help that church. Now, am I remembering right that Preacher Curtis and his men are going to try to help distribute that stuff, be able to what it is that they need?
Yes.
So, you know, just and pray for Preacher Curtis's ministry and all the rest of them. Continue to pray for Samaritan's Purse. As we said, you know, they got pretty hard even around where their headquarters was. So just pray that God would strengthen them and provide for them. And we did get, I mentioned this one time before, and I got to mention it Wednesday, but we got our boxes that me and Christina ordered. We ordered some of the plastic boxes, and I know some has got some. If there's any more back there, just everybody take what you want, and you know, fill those up. And Ms. Edna said that she will be able to get some of just the regular cardboard boxes. So there weren't but 12 of those to begin with that I ordered. We just wore them, so there was only a few of those left. But there should be more boxes coming. So just remember that, and really, you know, again, don't. Let us not get to the point where we feel like, well, I give to this, and I can't give to this. You know, really, we need to just trust the Lord and do everything that we can to make sure that we are given to these things. Because God talks about how, you know, that we're to take care of the needy. We're to take care of those that don't have that provision. Because part, thank you very much, part of what God uses that for is to test us, show us where our heart is. Is our heart really where it needs to be? Or we will not go out and help those when God has done so much for us. So keep in mind all of these things. Ms. Sherry's given me the total there. It was $853 that were taken up for the supplies there. So I think the pastor's going to get up at Sam's Club and buy, you know, what is needful from that money.
Yeah.
And take up there. So remember that. Remember all the other churches. Plenty of people doing work. And just pray, you know, as we've said, that the gospel will shine through all of it. Because that's really the bottom line. Because if somebody is fed on this earth, well, that's good. That's pleasing to the Lord. But if somebody gets that bread that's from above, we can care for them for all eternity.
Yes.
That's the more needful need to fulfill. So I don't take much more time here. This is old, isn't it?
Is that, yes.
Okay, yes. So we're good on that. I know several things mentioned this morning. I'll mention again, if you would just continue to pray for Jubilee. We're trying to keep her away from all the kids kind of this morning because she's still, her fever's just up and down and up and down. I can't start to get it to stay down. So remember her, if you would, just pray for God's will that Ed won't get it. So far, so good. He's staying healthy. So, I mean, I'm not too worried about it. Tonsillitis, I got my tonsils, but, you know, I guess did my rounds for that. But just remember that if you would. And if you would also remember, there's a fella that, I guess you would say I have a professional relationship with, but a brother by the name of Kirk, and he was just talking to me the other day about how his wife had to do with the Lord here just about 2 years ago. She had pancreatic cancer. She lasted 4.5 years, which is longer than most, but I don't know, I think he's still struggling with it some. He's pretty active in his church, so he's not just sitting at home all the time, you know. I hate to say it this way, but kind of wasting away. I mean, that's what you do if you sit around. But just pray that God would give him comfort and peace, and you know that maybe he would help our brother to, I don't know, use that maybe as time to do more service for the Lord. I know that's easy for me to say, but anyway, just pray for that. But we continue to be in the situation with James. Things are fairly difficult in that. And you know, even last night, there's all these things that I'm sitting here going, I don't know what I need to do. I just need to go over and do this. But you know, in the end, the Lord's like, you know, just like work.
Yeah.
You know? And that's kind of, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I don't want to deal with, but as a man, that's what I want to do, right? Just go, we're just going to take care of this. That's what we are, problem solvers. Do not come to us with a problem if you don't want us to solve it, because that's what we want to do. You know, but we can't just always do that. So just pray that God will work in that situation and give us wisdom for what he desires us to do. I continue to remember Brother Lynn, the Lord helped him with his gout. Appreciate the Lord helping you get over that medicine reaction. That's bad when they try to give you something to help you and don't want them to hurt you. But I continue to remember Brother Charles. Are you doing some better, brother? Good. Appreciate that. I appreciate the Lord helping him and getting Preacher Billy healed up there from his ear. Miss Vivian got some good news. Your blood is what? 11.1? 11.4. Amen. So we've got our blood level back up, and appreciate the Lord moving in that. help Miss Terry's sister with her cataract surgery. Now, was that Debbie? The one that was here, doesn't that? Okay, so Lord really helped her in that. Now, Miss Terry did mention this morning that Miss Barbara Bivens, I think she pretty much has decided to have the surgery, haven't she? They're saying she's just in a lot of pain, so there's really nothing they can do. Besides her having that surgery, I think that it is an emotional survival surgery, so she's got to go to a heart doctor and a pulmonary doctor to get checked out. Just pray that God would have his will in that whole situation. Pray that he would give Brother Gary grace, because I think he's still struggling with the whole situation there. But we know God can give peace, you know, and help in that. Is your dad still doing pretty good after his surgery? And then, now what about Dawn at his church? I haven't heard anything about her, because I know she was taking cancer treatments. Is she okay? Okay. So remember her, and then see the fellow that has cancer down there. His name's Greg, right? The son leader. Okay. Yeah. We saw him. Yeah. Well, at least he was as a preacher of God's revival because he just had one that day. But look like his spirits are good. He's got joy in the Lord. So remember him if you would. Now, what about that fellow that goes down to Bible Gospel? Has anybody heard anything about him? You know who I'm talking about.
I haven't heard.
Okay.
I hadn't seen
you talk
to it.
Okay, so continue to remember that situation. I'm so bad with names. I want to say it was a Jeff. Is it Jeff?
Yeah, I believe
his name's Jeff. I'm so bad with names. I was getting him, and actually, Preacher Jesse, I was getting him mixed up during that meeting, which, you know, as far as because it was James. But remember Preacher Jesse, come preach a good message Wednesday night. Gave a clear presentation of the gospel. I just prayed that God would open doors for him. Remember Brother Matthew, he unexpectedly had to work last night. The county's coming home, so he wasn't able to be here with us this morning. Just pray about the job situation. He's desiring to have somewhere else to go, but I know he's waiting on the Lord for opening that door of opportunity. Just pray that God would help him with that. And I know Stu has some requests about her job also. You see Brother Greg with us this morning. I appreciate the good news that we've given this past week, in case anybody will hear Wednesday. They're as convinced as they can be that is not a tumor, but rather it was just a stroke showing up there. So really appreciate God moving on that. Just pray that God will continue to help as far as, you know, whatever needs to be done, you know, in relation to that. As Preacher Stone said this morning, the seizures will stay gone for that 6 months. Well, I mean, permanently, so we look for that. Yeah. Then get back to driving, and I know that's a hardship, you know, not being able to just drive to work. And I think Brother Jesse mentioned, said Fred had fallen a few times, so it was pray for him. And how
Brother Texas said he was doing better this morning.
Okay, good.
He gets confused a little bit. He's been taking his medicine not right. So we're hoping it's just his getting that regulated again, maybe straightened back out. He needs a lot of prayer.
Amen, yes. And remember Brother Randy, he's still trying to get recovered from his surgery. I know he's desires to be here. Just pray that God will help him to do that. I notice Brother Robert's not here this morning. Just remember him, if you would, God would help him also. I know Brother Andy's been requesting prayer, health things. And I'm sorry, Miss Christine, you said it was your sister who's getting ready to have surgery? Okay, so remember her, that God will move in that. Anybody else got a request this morning? I'm sure there's stuff that I missed.
Remember Karen, she has
her
surgery.
Okay, I'm sorry, what is it?
It's too big of an anxiety, it's stomach surgery.
Oh, okay. Just pray for me.
Yeah.
Yes, amen. Amen.
Thomas, where those now, and also pray for Danny Lill for her health and pain that she's in, and also she, her cousin, who had a heart attack, he's not going to make it, so just pray for God's peace and comfort in that family, and they would be no reward, so we have that comfort there. But just, I think they was trying to basically keep him some, he's on a vent until his daughter, who's driving up from Florida, I guess, can be some living with her, so just pray for that.
Yeah, amen. Amen. All right, that's all, I'm going to pray this morning.
It's good to be in the Lord's house.
Amen.
Thank God for giving us another opportunity to come in together and worship together. And what a blessing it is to see each and every one of you here at the house of God this morning. I'm thankful this morning. I want to preach on thankfulness. And the Lord, the last couple of days, He's just led me a different direction. But Lord willing, I believe Wednesday we'll preach on thankfulness. And what we get to this morning, I believe we'll follow up next Sunday, Lord willing. Like I said, I feel like that's what the Lord wants us to do, and y'all probably confused as I am right now because I'm not really making sense, but it'll all make sense after a while. But in any case, I have gratitude this morning, and you know, if you're filled with thankfulness, it won't take long and you'll be filled with joy.
Amen.
If you're filled with thankfulness, it won't take long to be filled with contentment. If you're filled with thankfulness, it won't take long, your sorrows will go away. If you're filled with thankfulness, it doesn't take long, and all your worries, all your anxieties and your troubles start to diminish.
Yeah.
If you're you filled with thankfulness, all of a sudden you become rich.
Yeah, amen, amen.
I ain't talking about your bank account, girl.
Right.
I'm saying you become rich.
Yeah.
I want to preach it so bad when we left. Lord willing, we'll get there Wednesday night. But in any case, I'm thankful this morning. I try to always be thankful, and I still go through tough times. I go through times where I just can't find no reason to be happy other than, you know, just knowing the Lord being saved. You know, I know those are all good reasons. I tell myself and I say, you know, why you feel this way? Why are you aggravated? Why are you so bitter? Why are you so ornery? And then, you know, and I know better.
Yeah.
It just don't make no sense. And I say, well, Lord, you know, you saved me. I didn't deserve it. And you give me a family I didn't deserve. And I can tell myself all this. But sometimes it just takes being filled with thankfulness.
Yes.
I ain't going to preach it. But in any case, that's where I'm at this morning. I thank God for that. I just want to brag on him.
Amen.
I just want to thank the Lord. And I might not be filled with thankfulness. Why can't I? I'm going to brag on him.
Yeah, amen.
I ain't going to tell him what my happy way down Wednesday. I might be in the flesh and be aggravated and be overcome with irritabilities. And, you know, I don't know. You know, I mean, it's just hard to tell. But right now, I'm just so thankful. And that's a blessing. Yeah, it is. That is a blessing. Our foundation study, we had to miss it last time, okay? And I would have tried to get it ahead of time, maybe probably tonight, but I forgot. So I forgot to mention it and bring it back up again. And so nobody's been prepared. We'll just keep, what we'll do is we'll keep the question the same, and we will have it last Sunday of this month. The question will be the same. We'll have it last Sunday this month. We may not have one the rest of the year because we have Christmas club practice. There's quite a few that has to be here on the weekends to do that. Sunday evening's a really good time to do that. We want to get as many practices as soon as we can. And usually what we do is the last Wednesday before the play practice, we have a practice that Wednesday night. Little service will probably do that as well if that's needed. I'll talk to Karen to find out how y'all are doing, you know. And, you know, y'all might just be, you know, doing great. But if not, we want you to do good. We want you to practice. We want you to take it serious, you know, as a ministry.
Yes, amen.
And we want you to put effort, a good effort into, you know, doing the best you can. And y'all always do. I'm super impressed. I mean, we are a church, well, we're a church of like, what, 50, 60 people? And the production that we put on here at these plays, man, it blows my mind. I'm like, man, we need to start a YouTube channel. We wouldn't have to pay offers tomorrow. That's okay. You can laugh a little. But in any case, yeah, y'all do really good. I'm proud of all of that. But yeah, we'll be praying about that. But yeah, the question will remain the same. We'll do our last Sunday this month. We'll have a foundation study. It will be, the question is, I forget exactly how it worked for, but as simple as this, how do we know that God is always good?
Yeah,
in bad times, and you know, and I think that question is more meaningful now, considering the things that have transpired in the last month. You know, and I think it's going to be great leading up to this election coming up, that no matter what the outcome is, you know, no matter what goes on in this world, God is good.
Amen.
And we've got biblical evidence for that. And we've got, you know, real life, He's real to us and been real to us in our own lives and give us evidence of that. And that's based on the Word of God. So you look into that and study on that, and we'll be looking forward to that. That'll be the last Sunday this month. I don't have a date. Somebody know what date that'll be? The 27th, October 27th, 5 p.m. We'll have our foundation study. All right. Does anybody have a special song they want to sing before we get started?
Father, thank you for being at
4:15
and not
there. Okay. Choir practice 4:15. 27. good would that be? Let's think about that pastor, that church. And you know what joy he must have now. Think about that. Yeah, it sounds sad, but like you would think, oh man, that's so sad. You know, it's sad for that church, it is.
Yeah.
And I hate it for them, I hate it for his family.
Yeah.
But for him as an individual, man, I think they ain't nothing more blessed than to, you know, but to live is for Christ, but to die is gain.
Yeah, amen.
You know, what did he have to lose? I mean, they ain't no joy compared to that. You know, right now we trust God, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I believe his word, amen.
Yeah.
But I
have
doubts.
Yeah.
Do you ever have doubts?
Yeah.
I always struggle with that, back and forth. And, you know, there's been times I've struggled with it worse than others. You know, I know the Lord has grew me, and he's given me more assurance over time. All them things, that's only coming from God. He's made himself real to me. He does that. He has a way of doing that. Thank his name for doing that.
Amen.
But I'm telling you one day,
yeah,
whenever I see his face,
yeah, amen,
whenever he says, welcome,
yeah,
my good and faithful servant.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, I know that day's coming.
Amen.
I know that he's got crowns for me.
Yeah,
I ain't talking about things that I've earned.
Right.
I ain't talking about things I deserve.
Right.
I'm just talking about the goodness of God that
amen,
he's got for me.
Amen.
He's going to say, welcome, my good, faithful servant. He's going to say, welcome, child. Welcome, son.
Amen.
Ain't going to be because he's going to have a list of all the good things I've done. What he's going to do is he's going to have the Lamb's Book of Life. It's got my name written
amen,
down because the blood was shed for my sin. And I was forgiven. He's going to say, well, he's going to put his arms out.
Yes.
When I see his face, I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be real then.
Amen. Amen.
There's going to be joy in that day,
yes,
that I ain't never felt before. There's going to be joy in that day I can't imagine.
Amen.
Hey, I ain't going to be interested in that crystal sea or the golden streets or the halls of Jasper. It ain't going to mean nothing much to me when I see the face of Jesus.
Amen.
That's why I love that song, What a Day That'll Be.
Yeah.
If you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Genesis in chapter 3. I've been talking about for some time that something that's been on my heart I want to do is to start a series on family.
Yeah.
And what the Bible has to say and address what the Word of God about the family. And this morning we're going to start in Genesis. And the first thing that we're going to cover concerning the family is the star of the family, which is
amen,
God's union of marriage between a husband and a wife. And we're going to start this morning, and we're going to look at this. The foundation of a godly family is a godly husband.
Amen.
Amen. Now, like I said, I want to preface this by saying this, that the role of a husband is no greater importance than that of the role of a wife.
Right.
However, I believe this is true. You do not have the church without Christ. Amen.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Amen. And it is hard to have and maintain a godly family without a husband, a leader,
right,
one who's willing to lead in a godly way.
Amen.
And like I said, I know that there's some people here this morning, some of you have had men in your life, you've had fathers, or some of you have husbands or grandfathers or children that might not be where they need to be, but they're not here. So this is not for them. This is for you. This is for the men who are here this morning. Ladies, this is not for you to throw yourself in your husband's face this evening or tomorrow or later on this week. This is for God to work on their heart. Please, I ask you, just let the Lord let this sink into your husband's mind. Children, by all means, do not remind your daddy of what the preacher said Sunday, including my kids. Because at the end of the day, we all still struggle
amen,
with sin and that sin nature. And and we fight that, and we fight this flesh, but this is what the Lord give us for this morning. And just so you know, at the end of this, I'm going to challenge you that as godly leaders, your first objective is to going to be to bring, make sure your family is by any means necessary is at the house of God.
Amen.
And make sure they're here next Sunday, because next Sunday we're going to talk about the wives. So I'll also tell you the same thing, you know, don't be one, you know, tell them to throw this up in your face and so on and so forth. But in any case, let's begin reading in Genesis in chapter 3. The Bible says in verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, and the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam. He said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return to the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make them coats of skins, and clothed them. The Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden the cherubims, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Father, we thank you for your word, and pray, God, that you'd add your blessing to the reading of it. Give us discernment in your word this morning, God. And help us, Lord, this morning, God, to just be edified by the hearing and the preaching of your word. May you be glorified. May the name of Jesus be be exalted in every way here this morning. It's in his holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. As we read this, I'm going to point out some things that we've looked at before and that you've studied before. You probably learned it in the Bible school. You probably learned it in Sunday school. You've probably heard it preached before, but because it's in the text, we'll look at it once again. First of all, notice this, what the serpent is doing here. And we're going to start out here talking about how that the serpent goes to Eve. Okay, we're going to start out here talking about how that the serpent comes in and goes to Eve. And it says here in chapter 3, verse 1, it said, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, if God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." First of all, the serpent here is questioning the word of God, and then he is denying the word of God. And that is what Satan still does today. He wants us to question the word of God, then he wants to deny the word of God. Then he goes into contradicting the word of God, something that goes directly against the word of God. In verse 5, he says, "God knows in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be God's knowing good and evil." And it says, "When the woman saw the tree, that she eat." Then it says this in verse number 6, now pay attention. It says in verse number 6, "When she saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat." Now, that is one thing that I think we overlook that's very important here in the Word of God, is that the fact that whenever she went to the garden and saw the tree, let me just back up and read this just one more time. I want you to pay attention to a few things. First of all, notice this. Her and the serpent are having a conversation. It says, "Now the serpent said to the woman," in verse 1, "hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" He asked the question. The woman says in verse 2, "said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." She speaks of the tree as if she is not present with the tree. Are you following it? She says the tree is over in the midst of the garden. That's the way she describes it. And then she says this. The serpent says unto her, "You will not surely die." It says, "But you'll be as gods, having your eyes open, knowing good and evil." Then we get to verse 6. Now read what it says carefully. It says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food." It doesn't say, "And then she saw." It says, "And when she saw." Meaning that some time had passed. We don't know if it was that same day, or if it was the next day, or if it was a month later. We don't know, but we know some time has passed. Because oftentimes, whenever we disobey God and we listen to the devil, it is not immediate. A lot of times there is a seed that is sown, and we begin to chew on that, we begin to think on that, and initially our heart is guarded, and we say, well, there ain't no way I'd go against God and do that. But over some time, that once that seed's in there, just like the Bible says that whenever lust is conceived and manifest, it bears sin, amen? The best thing to do is not let it become conceived, not ever even give a thought to it. But we see that it says that when she saw the tree, it says that she eat thereof and gave also to her husband with her. This is the thing that the Bible is telling us here, is that Adam was there, that Adam was present with Eve whenever she ate of this fruit. Now, she ate of it first, right? Is that not right? Tell me if I'm wrong. Was it not her that the devil went and talked to and the seed? Was it not her that ate of the fruit of the tree, right? And then she gave it to Adam, right? So we can say, well, this is all Eve's fault. The problems we got in the world, that's all her fault. She went and listened to that devil and started that. And you know, that's the mentality a lot of us have. You know, I've got a buddy, and he likes to say this about all kinds of women, any woman. Anytime he hears anything about a woman saying anything that just, you know, a man wouldn't even think that way, he says, they're all descendants of Eve. You can't trust any of them. That's what he said. I got a buddy that says that all the time. And that's the way we think sometimes, you know. It's all y'all's fault, women. It's Eve's fault, right? But that's not what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible says that in Adam we all die.
Yeah,
it says, by one man, sin was brought into the world.
Yeah.
Now, how do we get there? First of all, this. Adam was with her. Notice this, it was his responsibility as the husband to deter his wife from doing what he knew was ungodly and wrong. She had been deceived by the devil. She believed that what she was doing was going to be all right. Adam, whenever he took to that fruit, he knew better. He knew that it was wrong by God. He knew that he should stop her, but he didn't want to start an argument with his wife. He didn't want to start something that he knew was just going to drag out and be some kind of big old thing. He didn't want to stand his ground. He didn't have a leg to stand on. He said, you know what? He said, I'll just eat it with you, and I'll be guilty with you. And that's why the Bible says that in Adam we all die. You said, oh, no, preacher, how do we have evidence for this? In 1 Timothy in chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We'll go back to this again. The Bible says in verse number 9, it says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness, and with sobriety, not with broided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which become women professing godliness with good works. It says, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, and then Eve. And then listen to this. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity with holiness and sobriety. Now we're going to save part of that for whenever we go into talking about wives and mothers. But here, we're talking about a husband, we're talking about a father, we're talking about a leader of home. And then this is the point I want to make. That the Bible says that Adam was not deceived. Amen? It says that Eve was deceived, but Adam was not. And so whenever we see in verse 6 that it says that she gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat, he was standing there, he could have stopped her. And did not. He could have put his foot down and put a stop to it and said, honey, no, honey, we're going to go with God. God said don't touch that. God said don't mess with that. She said, well, honey, I've been thinking about it. You know what? She'd never tell him. The devil talked to her about it. She'd never tell him. The servant, she said, she's going to take credit. That's what y'all do. That's what women do. I'm sorry. It's the truth. Tell me I'm wrong. She's going to say, honey, I've been thinking about it. And you know what? And this is what really makes sense. I believe that God just don't want us to have the knowledge He does. I believe we'll be all right. I'm going to go ahead and eat it. And Adam, like me and you and a lot of us, is weak. That woman's shorter than you. She's smaller than you. You know, my wife's even tried to stab me before. True story. She says she wasn't. I don't believe that. But I disarmed her. Because I'm combative. I'm faster, I'm bigger, I'm stronger. She couldn't even stab me. She had a weapon, couldn't take it. But yet somehow or another, that little tiny woman somehow still gets her way. Blows my mind. I don't understand it. You know, how that she can have such a sway over such a big, strong guy. You come try to talk me out of something I believe in and I stand for. It's going to be hard. Once I believe something, I stand for something, it's hard to talk me out of it. But man, I tell you what, a woman just has powers. We don't understand. Some kind of powers of persuaction. And I had a visa come to that.
Yeah.
But in this case, you know, sometimes I guess it's all right if, you know, if it comes down to something simple, you know. But whenever it comes to something that you know is foundationally wrong, I'm going to tell you, men, we got a responsibility to stand with God.
Amen.
And sometimes it just takes, I mean, just literally saying, no, honey, we're going to do things God's way. But I'm going to tell you this, if you're going to do that, you're going to be that man. You better be the man that also leads in prayer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That leads in reading the Bible.
Yeah.
That leads in saying, we're going to church.
Amen.
It shouldn't be your wife saying, are you going to church? Let's go to church. You should be saying, honey, get ready. We're going to church.
Yeah.
Honey, get ready. It shouldn't be your wife saying, would you like to say the prayer before we eat? It should be saying, you, as the man, saying, honey, kids, bow your heads. We're going to pray. We're going to thank God for this.
Hey.
Amen.
Yeah.
Adam was very comfortable where he was at. That's why the Bible says that in Adam, we all die. Notice this. It says that afterwards, it says that when they did eat, verse 7, it says the eyes of both them were open. And they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. All right, first of all, let's look at this. It says the eyes of who was open? The eyes of Adam was open? Them.
Yeah.
The eyes of both of them were open. So they were both included in this sinful action.
Yes.
They were both included in the consequence, right? And then it says this. It says the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. Was it just Adam that knew that he had sinned? Was it just Eve? They both knew that they had sinned. They knew where they stood with God was wrong.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And then they tried to cover it up. They tried, how he says, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves angels. It wasn't just Adam. But then look at this. It says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God and amongst the trees of the garden. Who heard him? Was it Adam that heard him and ran? It said they heard him. They knew. They made the leaves. They knew they were naked. They knew that they had sinned. They knew they went against God. When they heard God walking, they tried to run and hide from God. It was they, them, themselves, they. But then look at this in verse number 9. It says, the Lord God called unto Adam. Are you following me?
Yeah.
Are you with me this morning?
Amen.
He said, Adam. He said, you got something to answer for.
Yep.
Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, as a pastor, I stand to give an account for this church. And as a husband and a father, I stand to give an account for my family one day.
Amen.
You know why? Because God called me to be a leader.
Amen.
God called me to be a leader, first of all, of that wife, then to them children.
Yes.
Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, that's my first responsibility. I'm sorry, Amen. I love every one of you. But I'm going to tell you this, if it comes down to it, I will serve my wife before anybody else in this church.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, it's going to come to the Lord God first, right? That's the way it should always be.
Yeah.
But I'm saying this, that my responsibility to ministry is first of all to my wife,
Then
to my children, then to my church and everyone else.
Yeah.
I remember whenever I was trying to call to preach, I went and told my grandpa, and the first thing he told me, he said, remember this, he said, before God called you to preach, he called you to be a husband and a father.
Yes, amen.
That's the first thing he told me.
Yes.
He said, I messed up there at times in life. He said, I didn't take care of my family the way I should have. That's what he told me. He was just being honest and telling me that. He was convicted of it. He said, I let my family down to serve the church. He said, don't make the mistakes I've had. That's what he told me. But we see here that it was them, it was they who knew that they'd done wrong. But it was Adam that God called them. Let me tell you this, face sin in your house. You can say, well, she's doing this, well, she's doing that. That's what Adam said.
Yeah.
He said, she done that. The Bible don't say in Eve we all die. The Bible says in Adam we all die.
Yes.
Because of Adam's sin, because of one man's sin, it says that the whole world is cursed. Why? Because Adam had a responsibility that he did not take seriously. He had a responsibility to serve God and to stand with God and to lead his wife in the ways of righteousness, in the ways that God would have him to, and he did not take it serious.
Amen.
And he let her down. He let her down. You say, well, she was the one that was deceived. She's the one that brought him the fruit. Yes, but the Bible's teaching us here that Adam let her down.
Yes.
That's why God called for Adam by name. He never called for Eve until Adam started pointing his finger at her. And sure, she received the curse upon womankind. But look at what happened because of what Adam did.
Yeah.
Notice this. Look at why that the serpent was cursed. Verse number 14, so he blames the woman blames the serpent. She says the serpent beguiled me in verse 13. And verse 14, the Bible says, Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above everything. All the days of thy life. Verse 15 says, I put a enmity between you and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And I crush him. That was the first prophecy we see concerning Jesus overcoming Satan.
Yes.
Overcoming all of evil. He would crush the head of the serpent. Then he says to the woman, he says, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shall thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be in thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And then in verse 17 he says this. Notice this. He says, I'm going to tell you why I'm going to curse you. Because you hated me and you just went off the rails and become an apostate and didn't know. That's not why you're being cursed. You think it takes you just getting out of church and you think it just takes you going out here and living in the world and doing how you want to. You think that's what it takes for God to curse you? You think it takes you to have to be an abortionist to kill babies or that you'd have to support homosexuals? I mean, what do you think it's going to take for God to curse you, man? What do you think it'd take? This is what he told Adam. He said, because thou hearkened to the voice of thy wife.
Yeah.
He said, because you let her tell you what to do when you knew better, when you knew it should have been something different.
Amen.
And the Bible says, that's why it says that Eve was deceived. It says Adam was not deceived.
Right.
That means that he knew better.
Yeah.
I will tell you right now, men, you better be reading your Bible and praying every day. Hey, I remember one point in time, I thought that I was tough. I thought I was strong. I thought I could stand my own. And that was until I got married. And I'll tell you right now, that little old bitty 4.5-foot tall woman, she taught me that I had to depend on a strength that is greater than my own. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. You know something, our marriage wasn't always what it is now, honey. I hope you don't mind me telling this. I wasn't always like I am now. I was a whole lot worse off. She's a whole lot worse off. Just both of us. We both had problems, didn't we? And I didn't think it was going to work out. I didn't think I could live with this. And she probably knows she didn't think she could live with me. And we just butted heads. And it wasn't working out. And as much as I thought I could talk her into just doing what's right and being how she needed to be, it wasn't working. You're talking about stubborn. I don't blame your side, Ellen. I blame your mentality. That's what it was. It's a mentality.
I get the stuff.
But, you know, it was difficult. There came a time where I didn't have no choice. But I had to let go of all that was in me and all my strength and ability. I just had to hand it over to God. I just had to pray about it. Honey, your stubbornness taught me to depend on God. You know, you should be proud of that. That's the truth. Before that, I trusted myself. You know, I took care of my own business. Nick.
Yeah.
You remember back in the day? I know Robbie probably remembers this too. You remember I used to be a
tough guy. You remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, Rodney remembers that.
Dr. Wood.
Yeah, Dr. Wood. But, you know, people all the time, you know, want to challenge. I remember people used to just show up to the house with boxing gloves and just want to box. And, you know, I whoop some people and I'd take some whippings. That's the way it goes. You do enough fighting, that's the way it goes. You take some whippings. We don't tell about them. But in any case, there's always somebody wanting to start something with you. And as much as I was willing to do that, it's funny to me how many other people was willing to go with me and do that. And you know something, since I've learned to just depend on the Lord and His strength, ain't nobody messes with me. Ain't that funny? No, you know, people might think, you know, whether you go to church, you serve God. I used to think that way. I'll be honest with you. I did. I thought you must be weak. If you have to depend on God to fight all your battles and take care of you, you must not be able to do it on your own. I'll tell you what, I don't know how I ever got as far as I did on my own. God goes to taking care of you. I'll tell you, no, hey, the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Not the giants of this world. Hey, I don't care how big and sorry the government gets. They ain't no match for God.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
I don't care how sorry the education system is. I don't care how sorry our culture and society is. Hey, they ain't no match for God. But I'm going to tell you this. We live in a day and time where it's becoming increasingly difficult for you ladies to be godly women, to follow God, follow your husband. And it's been becoming greatly, increasingly difficult for you men to just follow God and be leaders and be godly leaders. Hey, I want to tell you, everybody's got a grandma, they've got a mom, they know somebody. And, you know, in culture today, especially down here in the South, it's become popular and it's become a tradition that you've got a matriarch, a woman that's a leader, a godly leader for the family. And that's who everybody looks to for wisdom and for godly wisdom. And she's a prayer warrior and she's going to church. Hey, I'm going to say somewhere there was a man that failed. Hey, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying, hey, don't let that be you. You be the man that will step up and say, God, I want to follow you. And I want to lead my family. I want to serve you, God. And I want to be in the Word of God. I want to study the Word of God. Hey, I would say, how much time do you spend studying on all kinds of other things? You got your hobbies, and you got your interests, you got your favorite television shows. Hey, how much time do you spend conversating with people about mowers and weed eaters and hunting and fishing and guns and everything else? Why don't you spend some time in conversation with God? Talk to Him in prayer. Say, God, help me to be the man that I need to be. God, help me to be the husband that I need to be, and help me, God, to be the father that I need to be.
Man, yeah.
We need godly men that is willing to step up and to be leaders. I want to tell you this, it don't make you stronger. Matter of fact, it takes a man of great character. I fail at this all the time. My wife and my children tell you that I'm not always a good leader. It's something that I have more room for improvement for in my life than probably anything, as much as anything. So don't think that I'm sitting here as somebody telling you that you should be like me. What I'm telling you is that I'm in this same boat with you, that I struggle.
Yeah.
And then this day and time, it's difficult, and it's becoming increasingly difficult to be a godly leader, and to be a man, and to stand with God. And some of you women might even be thinking, well, you know, I would never do that. Well, Eve, she done that. Mm-hmm. I don't think you was no Eve, honey. I don't think none of us are any Adam.
Yeah.
If they can fail, I can, you can.
Yeah.
Men and women. But let's get this into our heads this morning. Just this simple fact. Like I said, I don't intend for it to be just directional for just men. But that's just the way the text is. And sometimes you just preach the text and that's the way it's coming out. Amen?
Yes, yes.
I want to challenge you with this. Bring your family to the house of God.
Amen.
Amen. I want to say this, Stacy. There's a man here this morning that some time back was having difficulties, and there were some difficulties with some of these, with his family, and you know, thought they needed my help. And I, this is what I said. I said, bring your family to the house of God. Don't miss the service. You can help us. It will help things. It will change things. Be that leader. You know who you are. You've done that. And look at how God's done things. It wasn't because I done anything. It was because you followed God. Whenever you're obedient to God, whenever you step up and lead, you'll see God do great things for your family.
Yes.
For your wife, for your children. All you believe the things that God can do and will do. I know plenty of women so much more godly than I am. Prayer workers, humble women, dedicated to serving God. And their families crumble because they don't have a man that backs them. It's foundation.
Yes.
It's a cornerstone. Hey. If you love your wife, man, if you love your children, step up.
Hey.
A lot of times the reason that we don't is because we don't feel worthy. I'm not, and you're not. That's just the truth.
Hey.
But God called you to this position. I'm not worthy to be a pastor. And every day I have, every service I have to get up here and preach. And I feel so unworthy. And I remind myself that I am not standing for me, who I am. I'm standing for Him.
Amen.
And He is. And the same way when I leave my family,
Amen.
I'm standing for God. I'm standing for His Word. It ain't because I'm perfect and I do everything right, but it's because He is. Amen. I got a challenge for you. By any means necessary, get your family to the house of God. Be here Wednesday.
Hey.
Hear what the Word of God has to say about being faithful.
Hey.
Lord willing. And be here next Sunday. The devil, between now and Sunday, you will find this to be true. We'll try to find some reason to keep you from being here next Sunday. Lord willing, we'll preach on these same lines. But the responsibilities that ladies have, wives and mothers, be here for that. Amen. I'm going to pray this morning. If you feel led that you need to be at this altar to pray this morning, I hope you'll go. And if you're not ready for that, then I hope that your challenge by the Word of God this morning is follow through with what God's brought to your heart and conviction this morning. And I know some of you young men are not married, but I hope you take this as a challenge to prepare yourself for marriage.
Yes.
I know some of you young ladies are thinking, where I fit into this. You find a man that fits that mood. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you, Lord, for loving us, God, and having mercy on us. I thank you, Lord, for your word and how that it challenges me. Shows me, God, where I fail. Strengthens me, God, to help me to do better. Lord, I cannot leave my family without you. I tell you this every day, God, that I need your help. And even today, Lord, I know I'll need your help. I know Satan does not like for us to get into topics like these. Lord, Satan would love nothing more than to keep men on the back burner and the sidelines that they would not leave in the homes. Lord, he constantly attacks the family and the structure of the family and the leadership of the family. I pray, God, you put a hedge around the lives of every man that's here this morning, God, that they just be able to understand and know, God, this morning, Lord, that you're taking care, Lord, and that you're helping them. And I pray, God, you grow them and strengthen them, Lord, to be the men that they need to be. Lord, give them backbones of iron, God, that they stand with you, stand with the Word of God. Lord, that they'd help and be a blessing to their family, Lord, that they
that they have good, Lord, wouldn't live a life of hypocrisy, God, that they want to follow you in every aspect of life, Lord, that they want to live their life according to your word. Help me, God, to do that, Lord, that I just love you enough, God, to want to live my life always according to your word, to take care of anything and everything, God, that would cause me to stray, Lord, from your will and your way, but God, to lead by example in my family, to show them, God, that I pray, Lord, that I study, that I love you, Lord, that everything I do, Lord, and everything, that decision I make is because I love you, because you first loved me, God. There's nothing that I've got from you that I ever deserved, Father. You've never punished me the way I ought to have been, and you've never blessed me the way that I ought to have been. When I've never deserved the blessings that you give. I've never earned them. You've been so much better to me than I deserve. And I just want to thank you this morning. I pray, Lord, you'd help me to show my children and my wife, God, that I'm to be thankful, Lord, in all things, and just be grateful for you. Lord, help us, Lord, to just carry on, to carry these burdens, Lord, that we do as men. Lord, to not be overwhelmed and to not cave in, but just to stand firm, God, and to not be overrun with emotion, but just to be that sturdiness, Lord, in the home, God, just as you are. You are our rock. Lord, we know that as men, we can depend on you. We can stand firm on you, and I pray that you help us to stand firm also, that you might be glorified, God, that the name of Jesus be exalted. I thank you for your word this morning. Help us, God, this morning, Lord, take this word and hide it in our hearts and challenge us to grow, Father, that we better glorify you for your word this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. With all hearts and minds clear.